AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Football on Off the Ball.
Here's another meeting we can speculate about. What did Arne Slot say to Mo Salah on Friday, I wonder?
Just cop on, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off the Ball member now.
The RTE Sports Awards have been out. Which part of this now is outraging you the most? Let's get straight into it.
It's another Eamon's. It's a sort of a secondary bit on Eamon Sweeney's column. So his main column in the Sindo today, we've just touched on, is Ruben Amorim. But one of his second piece that he has here is headlined: "The exclusion of the Ireland team makes a joke of RTE Sport Award."
Yeah.
So the nuts and bolts of it basically being there were seven teams. I think they were the four GA teams.
Four GA teams, yeah, correct.
Kerry senior footballers won it. I think there was the Shamrock Rovers team at Lonetown
and the cyclists.
Yeah. were the seven shortlisted for team of the RT Sports team of the year, and that the Republic of Ireland soccer team were not listed. And he called it, he said, "The glaring absence made a joke of the award." And we were chatting about it outside as to whether, like Eamon makes a point in the piece that for each of the last 4 years, there was nine teams shortlisted for this award and there was only seven this year. I don't know the mechanics of how they...
They could have just lobbed them in.
Yeah, I don't know the mechanics. Yeah, they could have lobbed the Ireland team in.
Why not? Yeah. Like, seven is so random, sure, it might as well be eight.
Yeah, so then you're kind of wrestling with the whole... I think we were touched on earlier, they didn't actually win anything. They haven't qualified for anything. So should they be in it?
So the merit was, or sorry, the system of merit is you have to have physically won something.
It appears so.
And qualifying for a playoff.
I think that's a very unfair benchmark, isn't it?
Well, for a competition that has, we've said, 16 teams qualify out of 55 nations, isn't it?
For Europe, yeah.
For Europe. So it's quite a high benchmark. If the Galway Camogie team, and no disrespect to them, having beaten Cork, there was four competitive teams in that competition. Does that merit, you know, inclusion over the Irish team?
Base.
No.
As in the numbers that you've said and our history of qualifying for these things, not a good strike rate.
I guess it boils down to, are you being included for moments or are you being included for sporting success? Is sporting success what the Ireland team achieved in their last two games?
Yes.
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah. And it's not just moments. Like, it wasn't just a goal.
No.
There was a goal, and there was a few.
There was five goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, over two games.
Yeah. Against, you know, far superior opposition that we've... I can't understand it.
And at the outset, when this qualification draw, you know, came to the table, we said a playoff was our best case scenario, right? We didn't anticipate that we would usurp Portugal.
Oh, yeah, that was absolute best case.
So we've ended up where we hoped to end up.
Beyond where, I think reality would have been third, best case would have been second.
And we've ended up
in best
ahead
case.
Of, so, yeah. And I'm not taking from Galway, I'm not taking from the Dublin Ladies footballers, you know, the teams that were included, yes, they did win. Yes, they've, you know, ticked a major box in terms of the criteria.
They have a trophy to show for it.
They have a trophy to show for it. But when you consider where Ireland are right now and the potential for the World Cup, I think it was an oversight on the part of RTE not to include
them. And when you consider where Ireland were just a month beforehand in Yerevan, you know, and everything was just doom and gloom, which has more often than not been the way with Irish football teams. But like Troy Parrott scores the first goal against Portugal, that's a moment, you know. Then he goes and does another one, scores another one. That in itself is a moment, but then it's something more significant and you have to go and back it up. And I don't think the Irish football team had won back-to-back games. Well, I think they'd won won the game previously as well. So they were trying to win three games in a row, effectively, and that just doesn't happen with this team. And then to go and do it in Budapest in the circumstances and just the wave of emotion that it kind of delivered. Do you get wrapped up in that and sort of
you should, because it was
but
incredible.
Is it then tokenism to kind of, you know, stick them on the shortlist as the eighth team, you know?
No, because if you look at the teams that were included, Galway were horrendous against Cork in the National League final. So they had their Yerevan moment and came back from it. Kerry Senior Footballers had their Yerevan moment against Meath. They came back from it. They ultimately go on to win the team of the year. I think you can have poor performances during the course of a year and still ultimately, you know, make the shortlist. So I think it was an oversight.
You could make a coherent case that they should have won it. I'm not saying they should have, but I think you could make a case for it.
Yeah. I think it's to the, you know, majority of the population, they gave more enjoyment than the Kerry team this year.
Troy Barrow was shortlisted, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think I was sort of interested, him v Rory, who would you vote for?
I'd have voted for Troy.
Would you?
Yeah.
Over Rory?
This year, yeah. But that's my wheelhouse.
What do you think?
I'm kind of torn. Like, Rory just had the year,
had the year of his life.
Yeah, and I think in the video, obviously he wasn't at the RT Sports Awards, he was over.
Snubbed him, Paul, yeah.
Yeah, as we touched on earlier, he was over watching Jake Paul and Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
Troy's had a great time, a great year since he's gone to Holland, and he's been scoring goals. I don't know. Like Rory was talking in his acceptance speech of the awards on video last night for the RT one about how, you know, he may never have a better year than 2025, and he has to mentally get his head around that could actually be. I think he was being asked about what's next and how can he go bigger and better. I think he was making the point that maybe I just have to just settle on this in my own head, that it may never get better than the year I've just had. So when you factor everything in between the Ryder Cup, the Masters, the Irish Open, that putt and, you know,
like for the playoff.
Yeah, like all of that stuff. And look, I wouldn't be a massive golf fan, but I appreciate what he's done. Five goals in two games and the magnitude of them, like, it's just,
and the reaction of the country, yeah, and the video montages of pubs and airports and, you know, scenes up and down the country.
It's just slightly strange that he gets shortlisted for the personality of the year.
Those two things don't stack up,
and the team don't.
I probably slightly veer on the side of Rory. I don't think that I have ever or ever will witness anything as monstrous, particularly with the Masters.
I appreciate the Masters.
You know, just the storyline, the career-long trauma of the whole thing. I feel weird saying that, given what Troy Parrott did.
Like, yeah, I get what you mean.
But Troy Parrott brings Seamus Coleman back into the fray. We would have probably been saying goodbye to Seamus Coleman if Troy hadn't nudged the ball beyond the Hungarian keeper. You know, Troy has given us more to come.
Yeah, except for Rory just delivered the World Cup, basically. Like, he won the World Cup, effectively, if you want to look at it that way.
For us or for himself?
For all of us. Come on now.
It depends on what your wheelhouse is.
A lad from up the road is the way I always look at that. I think.
I'm not being patriotic here. I'm saying it's an individual sport, and I think I'm going to get much more enjoyment out of the playoffs and potentially a World Cup next year than I did. I really enjoyed the golf and I sat and I watched it and I embraced it all, but I do think there's more for me in what the Irish team managed to do.
Well, will we calm the conversation down by talking about Saipan the movie? It's only one place we can go. Paul Kimmich, anytime this appears in any inch of the papers between now and the end of time, we'll be discussing it. And here it is, a two-page spread in the Sunday Independent. Paul Kimmage, unholy collision of fact and fiction. Authors and filmmakers have an obligation to be as accurate as possible when they represent real people. So there's kind of three aspects to this, three main themes. One of them is about John Giles' reflections on the damned United, to which Paul Kimmage says initially he felt like, what's he making this big fuss about? It's a movie, get over yourself type thing. But then he has a quote afterwards, which seemed to kind of win Kimmage over onto the other side of the discussion from a number of years ago, from John Giles. I suppose in some arty-farty sense, it may now be acceptable to write a novel in which actual living people are mentioned by name and placed in entirely fictitious situations, saying things they never said and thinking things that they never thought and doing things that they never did. But as one of the people misrepresented in this way, I did not find it remotely acceptable. So it was one theme. Then he talks about the, in the movie, the ragtag nature of the Ireland players, and he quotes Conor McKeown from his own review of the movie. Then there's Ireland's World Cup squad, quite a few of whom were playing in high-ranking Premier League teams at the time. They're seen in various states of debauch here, charging around their team hotel, letting off fire extinguishers and joyriding golf buggies, even appearing mid-karaoke when McCarthy called at the infamous meeting that led to Keane nuking the room, as though Saipan was a big stag party in a cockroach-ridden two-star hotel. And then, yeah, just the point of documentary versus filmmaker, filmmaking, Saipan is not a documentary, he says here, and on he goes. I really wish Paul Kimmage had watched the movie and then done his review. He says, he makes a virtue almost of the idea that he hasn't watched it. And I have to say, I have next to no interest in watching the thing. I most likely will at some point because it is about Saipan. I'm infinitely interested.
I will at some point. Would you read
it? At some point, it'll be on the TV and I'll watch it then.
I'm with you. I won't be racing out to watch it.
I won't be racing.
I'll watch it at some point. Yeah. But I just I'm slightly bemused by it all. Not Paul's piece, just this whole sort of idea of, you know, fact versus fiction. Like, it's, you know, like, I made a note in Paul's piece, he says, but let's finish with where we came into the piece and the ethics of what's being presented with here. Can you not have a little bit of, you know,
artistic license?
Yeah. In these types of things. Like, obviously, there's a lot of reference here to the Damned United, like, brilliant book, absolutely brilliant. And I know John Giles took great exception to it, and there was a lawsuit and what have you, but I think you just have to have a little
bit. Do you not take that John Giles point that you're not entitled to put thoughts in somebody's head or words in their mouth or...
That they didn't say or think.
Giles is quoted here. Paul Kimmage has quoted Giles from Giles' autobiography just on that point, just saying, I thought it was outrageous. I don't think it's fair to take actual events and put conversations to them as he did with me in terms of the Damned United. I suppose I can get... I do get that point, you know, but I think there's always going to be a bit of artistic license in these things. Like, I don't know the answer to this question, this Saipan movie. Did they have to go and speak to Roy Keane?
No.
Aina Hardwick did try to speak to him. And
yeah,
he said
but in
no.
terms of permission for anything.
Oh, sorry, no. That side.
No.
No.
It's like The Crown, like Paul's intro to this piece is I think it's a review of The Crown at some point, you know. And it
says, you know, the crown is fiction, you know.
Yeah.
The monarchy aren't necessarily as good looking as they appear in The Crown, you know, which is an inference that they've had a glow up in The Crown, which makes it a more attractive show. And I've loved The Crown. I find the idea of going to watch Saipan a little terrifying because I am very sensitive to Saipan,
okay,
being from Cork,
still
and
got
I'm
PTSD.
I'm afraid that it'll be too kind to Mick McCarthy.
No, I think it needs to worry about
kind
that.
Kind enough,
from what I can gather.
And I see that here, but at the time,
you ever wavered? Have you just been? I'm on that side, and that's where I'm at.
And the interesting thing was when I went to play Camogie with Dublin, the Dubs had such a different opinion of Roy. And it kept coming up.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, they were at loggerheads in terms of their opinion versus mine. Like, I've never deviated from Roy being right in all those years.
Wow. And there must have been some stuff, I wish I could think of them right now, that have challenged that. I mean, on a weekly basis, maybe.
No, at that point, at that point in 2002, I agreed with him.
As a coach and a manager, you're not looking at it going, that was a bit much.
Truthfully, now, no. I can't get past it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm. It's far too sensitive now. A topic for me.
Isn't there an aspect to all this that it's actually this movie is not for us? It's for a different audience who don't really know very much about Saipan. They have half an idea that it happened. Mm. Maybe a UK audience, maybe beyond.
Yeah. And if it's satire, it's okay.
Yeah.
But then, if that's the case, then it maybe leans into what Paul is talking about here in his piece, because he's basically talking about, you know, Steve Coogan, Aina Hardwick as the two leading characters, Mick McCarthy and Roy Keane. And Paul's piece here says it has the veneer of a documentary because there was news reports and radio reports from that time sort of dropped into it from what I'm reading here. but it's a work of fiction, and that's not what we're being presented with here. Mm-hmm. So maybe if it is being targeted at a completely new, younger audience, I don't know, where do they draw the line on what's fact and what's fiction? I don't know, but I don't know. I don't
anyway, see. We'll continue to read, whatever about watch, we shall see.
To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off The Ball member now.
Football on Off The Ball.
Here's another meeting we can speculate about. What did Arnie Slatt say to Mo Salah on Friday, I wonder?
Just cop on, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.